So God showed me about the talents Wednesday night, and in that one talent, the one with the one, he didn't plant his talent. The Bible said he hid it. And when the man came back, he said, couldn't you have just deposited it so I could have got some interest? And so going along with what Elder Robert's saying is that we have to get planted. We have to find out where we belong and get rooted in that. And we give our time, we give our money, we give our effort, we give our prayer. We support our home church more than we do every other church. Yes. We don't give to everybody else more than we do our pastor. We don't walk around and give to everybody else in town and don't support the people that we are under. Amen. Yes. When I give it to Pastor Jones. I give it to Mara Sorella. Yes. And every now and then God will speak, you know, for me to give it to you. I think I gave most of my money to the people in the church at the conference because I just kept feeling to give. But that's because last year God told me to help people that helped me. And I would just feel that, and I'd want to give into people's lives and because they planted into my life, not money, but more than money. I need emotional and spiritual and fervitude in here to back up this breakthrough message. And if I ever get that all together, then that's all I ever want. And then for you to do your destiny. Amen. Amen. So we see that he didn't do his talent. He hid it. He didn't want to do it. And in all week, last week, I was praying about, because I saw in the spirit that sometimes we take positions because it makes us feel good or we're important or we think we want to do something for God, but we don't actually ever do the position. You may have worked in the public and someone says, yes, I want to be your assistant manager. I want to be your leader. I want to be over the youth. I want to teach. And then you come up there and they laid back on the desk eating apples and texting. And so what they've done is stood in a position but didn't let nobody else take the position because they stayed in it, but they didn't do it, so it didn't get filled. And God reminded me of Saul. He said the people didn't want Saul. They didn't want Samuel to give them a king. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, starting with verse 19. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so Samuel is getting old, and he's telling the people, he said, I'm fixing to die. And he says, but y'all know how to do it. Y'all, he had his sons, you know, over him, and his sons were wicked. And he's telling them, you know what to do. You don't need a king. And they say in verse 19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, so we can be like everybody else. Let's get religious so we can be like every other church. Let's just go through four songs and a message and take up the offering and keep us on this level, because you're just a little too radical. You're a little too hard. You're a little too pressing. But all I can tell you is people get free every week and they get judgments out of them and they change. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. Now, Samuel's a prophet from God, and they refused to hear him. He told them they didn't need anybody, that they had this. And they said, nay, but we want a king over us, that we can be like everybody else, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Want somebody else to do the work, but I want to be a deacon. I want somebody else to do the work, but I want to take up the street ministry. Long somebody else is there on time and I can come in late and I can hold this position because I feel so spiritual and superior and like I'm really doing something, but I don't really actually take it. So they didn't want to take it, but they wanted Samuel to keep taking it. They wanted Samuel to keep being their leader, to keep being their judge, to keep doing all the praying. He said, look, I'm fixing to die. Y'all gonna have to do something. I can't keep doing this. And so when they didn't want that, God said, okay. He said, go get them a king. That's what the people want. Go get them a king. They want somebody to rule over them. And he says, so I'm going to show you who to get. And God showed him to get Saul. So the people started saying things like, what's he going to do for us? Who's Saul? He hadn't been here. We know everything to do. He don't know how to do it. But do you do everything you know to do? Do you, when we get to that point in here of breakthrough, do you go past the line of defense? Do you go past the line? And I'm not just talking about praise today. I'm talking about children's church. Julie's over children's church. And God gave people visions at the conference. And they can come back and they can say, Julie, we know you don't like to go out and get the kids or drive the van or call, so we're going to do that. Or they can sit in that seat of, I help with children's church. I'm part of children's church, going on through their life. 10 years later, no fruit, nothing's come out of that. That's why I stopped Sunday school for the kids. I didn't see any fruit. We take positions and we don't really take positions. And then we don't want somebody else ruling us. We want one person. We want the pastor usually to do everything. In churches all around the nation, we want that leader to get up and pray for us, bring us in the glory, do all the work, come see our family. And we sit on the pew and we just get fat, just like Eli and his sons did. Got fat on the first fruit, got fat on the best portion, got fat on the things around the altar and didn't do anything with them. And God came one day and sent his prophets and says, you go tell them, Eli, that you're going to die and your sons are going to die because you sit in the courts of God and you drew the best for yourself. You drew everything for yourself and you weren't willing to do anything with that. You weren't willing to go out and produce fruit. You weren't willing to let that get planted, what I called you to do, to get planted in the earth so it can get down and get some roots so something can come up and somebody can come and eat from that tree. And they can pluck from you. Are they getting fruit or are they getting sour fruit? Are they getting fruit or are they getting something you had for 10 years? Are they getting something that you know with your head or something that you prayed in through your heart? Are they getting something that you labored in God for? Are you giving them something they can get some substance from, some life from? Are you giving them some stale bread? Where's your fruit today? Where's your stability? Where's your plantation? Where's the ground that you said, God, I'm going to pay into this. I'm going to water the soul. I'm going to nurture the soul until it comes forth and I can see that flowers are blooming. I can see destinies are getting fulfilled. So I can see music's coming forth. So they said, we don't want him. He don't know as much as us. So we all understand about a superior spirit. I think we've been around people that act like they're better or they know more. But yesterday I saw what that thing does sometimes. Now, this message isn't just for people that's a little intimidated. This is for people that use intimidation for power. I know that there's people that feel superior because they have knowledge. Because God showed me that through Pastor Pinson. I said, this person just keeps asking questions, but they don't never say anything back. And I said, I just keep feeling stripped when I'm around them. And she said, knowledge is power. She said, they're getting power from your knowledge. They're getting power from you sitting at the altar. They're getting power, but they didn't want to do anything with that power. They just wanted to hold it, and they want to sit on everybody else and judge. Wanted to judge. If Lisa's leading the prayer, that's not right. If Saul was going to be king, that's not right. You don't know how to do it. The Bible says Saul was a good king for a year. He was a good man. That's why they picked him. He was taller than the other ones, and he was a good pick. But after a year, he made his own choice that he decided he didn't want to obey. So for a year at least, they had a good king, but that superior thing, it won't do anything with what it knows. It won't do anything with what it knows. It sits in it and it judges. It sits and says, she don't get her stuff right. This is what the Bible said, and she got it mixed over her mouth. And it places judgment, but it don't ever do anything. Have you ever been in a prayer meeting or a service and you can feel that thing? You feel it. And especially, I'll just talk about prayer because that's where I had to break out of it. But you feel this thing, and Pastor went in the office, and I can either pray above that thing or I can stay here where most people stay. And so I would just holler out, you know, God help me. I don't want to leave here the same. You can always break out of that intimidation by lifting your voice and pressing past it. You can break out of it by singing when nobody else is singing. You break out of it by saying, I'm going to plant my seed if nobody else ever does. You break out of it if everybody in the house, you carry the anointing. You carry the presence. You carry the power of God, the super. Yeah, you carry knowledge. You carry knowledge of how to do that. And it's up to you if you're going to break past that or if you're going to sit around and say, I don't want the soul. I don't want nobody else ruling me, but I'm not going to go in myself. And the Bible said, woe to you that don't go in and don't let nobody else go in, because you know how to go and you won't go. He said, woe to you for that. Woe to us for hearing the word and getting these revelations and these experiences for ourselves and sitting on the altar and getting fat on that and never doing anything with it. You don't have to do nothing with it. But if I get Brother Arnie to do it, you can't fight him. And see, that's what they did. They fought Saul. You don't have to ever do nothing with it. That's your choice. Can't make you. No pastor can ever make you. But you can't sit on Brother Arnie when he dances and judge him and say that wasn't the right timing. He's out of order. He didn't do it right. Because what you're really doing is you're using that knowledge of what you've sit around the prophets and God, sit around God's people and heard their revelations, sit around them and heard what they broke through in prayer. You're not using it for God's glory, though. You're using it because it gives you value, because you think you know more. You think you know how Brother Arnie needs to do it. You think you know how Lisa needs to lead the prayer. You think Shell's tweeny and she don't know anything, so I ain't going to help her with that prayer. I'm going to sit back and do you know you fight when you sit back like that? You're a silent striver, and you don't do anything but sit there and you're disapproving and disappointing of what's going on. And how do I know that you use it for your own power? It's because you don't go over and help them. You don't whisper in their ear and say, I have a prayer, I have a song, I have this. Hallelujah. It's easy to sit back like they did and say, we don't want to be king, but we don't want to listen to Saul. It's real easy to sit back in the prayer and judge everybody that's stepping out first. But if you don't help them with your just giving them some wisdom, maybe just talking to them in their ear, if you don't support them in what they're doing and you get gratification because you knew what to do, you're not using that for God. You're using that for your own value. So the kingdom was intimidation. How many ever dealt with it? And that thing's a big thing. That I don't remember how old I was sitting right there, Sister Witt. And you know, I called myself submitted to Pastor Pinson. But I wouldn't pray out loud. Everybody probably won't believe it, but I wouldn't pray out loud. And I was sitting there, and I would feel to do it, just feel to open my mouth. And that thing was so big. It was just huge. I would be like... And then one day the Holy Ghost said, but you just went over there with Lisa where her brother preached Sunday night and you danced all in the front of the altar over there. Why can't you do it in your own church? You ever heard people say they can't do it here, but they can do it at Brownsville? They can do it at this church because they feel intimidated. But we use that word like it's the preacher intimidated. No, that's just a spirit. But some people bring the spirit in with them. Because they use intimidation for power. They use superiority for power. They use they get the new ones or this one or that one and tell them how to do everything because they're not doing what they need to do. But they use it for power. So what I saw is sometimes that thing would just sit up here and just want people to stay at this level, and everybody back here would be scared to step out and sing or out to play or out to pray or anything else. But that thing was releasing its venom. It was releasing its vomit. It was releasing its own insecurity on everybody in the house. What about you want to testify, but you're scared daddy might hear it? What about that? That's an intimidating, controlling, manipulating spirit that won't let you be free, won't let you to come out with everything that God's doing in you. And I come against it in the name of Jesus, and I pull you down. So I call them bullies. Bullies. They intimidate, but they don't have to say a word. But you feel the disapproving. You feel that you've done something wrong. You feel that you're not doing it right. I'm so sick I'm not doing it right in this church. I'm so sick I'm going to expose him every chance I get. I'm sick of people feeling like they're not doing it right. That's coming from that spirit, that superior, that intimidating, that manipulating, that controlling devil that don't want you to do anything from God for God. And especially if they're not going to do nothing with what they know, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it every time you try to dance, shatter, every time you try to break through. I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. If you feel it here, how much more you feel it everywhere else? Because we say we're freedom ministries. Someone said yesterday at prayer, said, if you can't, I think it was Dana said, it's coming down here, though. I mean, it's getting torn down because it's getting exposed. How does manipulation work? It works in the dark. It works in the, when nobody thinks that it knows that it's working. But it's my job to expose it and to let you know that it's going on. And Chad wanted to be part of this praise. All he feels is a line of defense. We've been here 15 years. You seen any of them break out yet? What's stopping it? Control, manipulation, intimidation. Because if that leader, whoever, wherever, whatever, don't be free, their self, if they're intimidating their self, and they sit on those thrones, and they sit in them kingdoms, and they don't do anything with what God's given them, with what they know. They just get some more knowledge so they can have some value. Because I'm going to know something, and ain't nobody going to tell me that I'm dumb again. And I got to know something. What you doing with all that knowledge? If you're not doing anything with it, you're getting puffed up and prideful and arrogant and judgmental. And so when a baby comes forward and try to operate in it, you're not going to bless them. You're not going to help them. Because if you helped them, you're giving them some of your knowledge, and they might know more than you. It's the old thing of the tree of good and evil. The devil said, eat this, and you can know what God knows. So don't tell me that's not a temptation. Knowledge. And knowledge is great, and it's wonderful. But we have to use the knowledge that we gain for the kingdom of God and not our own value. Yes. Yes. I have to use, Brother Timmy got to use the knowledge that he knows how to build out there for the kingdom of God, yes, not his own value. And sometimes, you don't feel value in the church, especially one where they're stripping you and replanting you all the time. And so it's easy to go out there and be puffed up. Some people leave churches so they can go to another one and feel like they're somebody. And I think that's sad. That's sad for the church that they have to feel that they're not shored up enough to feel like they have value in the church. But I'm bringing the call out today that let's shore each other up. Instead of sitting on them, instead of holding back, like we know more than them, let's tell them what we know. Let's tell them what we know so we can come forth and they can get free and they can come out of that wall of defense. They can come out of that intimidation. They can obey God. So what happens is God has grace on that a long, 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 long time. But then one day he made Saul king and they anointed him and Samuel anointed him and he was king. Well, all of a sudden, he's eating with Samuel. And they're like, I never got to eat with Samuel. I've been knowing Samuel all these years. But the Bible says that Saul was in the chiefest places with Samuel. I'm going to Mexico, Pastor D. She used to get on to me every day. I'm saying that when you want to be the king, when you want to be the Saul, and somebody else don't want to take that position, you can't sit with kings if you don't do king's work. You can't keep sitting with kings and hide in fear and intimidation and not break forth like that king is. But that thing thinks it knows so much more than everybody else, but it hadn't broke through one time. It hadn't broke through the wall one time. I saw that some people's at that same line for 10 years, but it sits back and thinks it knows more than the prayer leader. If you know more than the prayer leader, then break through. Break through. You know, I hate the devil because he's the one that's getting all that glory and making you intimidated. Remember, we're talking about a spirit. We're talking about breaking intimidation today and recognizing what it is. He's the one getting glory out of keeping you shielded. And that thing is just wants to act like it knows everything. But it came to me yesterday, well, if I know everything, if I knew more than my mama, then why wasn't I up here praying out loud? But it sits back, and the reason I sit back, because I didn't want to give her the pleasure of knowing that I was being humble. So knowledge is puffed up and prideful because I wasn't going to open my mouth. And I knew it. We can't say we don't know our own heart. We know a lot of our own heart. I'm sitting there, and I said, well, look. But it was still scary, even though that was pride and that was wrong. What was so wrong, what was so scary was the demon. You have to recognize that you're dealing with the spirit. If you get up on this platform and you feel this saying, who are you? Who you think you are? You're dealing with the spirit. And you know, maybe nobody feels that way. And the spirit's just going to be acting out until you break through him. Anytime you go to a new level, you're going to have to break through intimidation. There's going to be a wall of defense. And you got to go past him. You got to testify the first time. You got to dance the first time. You got to run the first time. You got to give more than $5 the first time. You got to preach the first time. You got to operate in the anointing the first time. You got to break control of people the first time. And once you get in that flow, you don't go back. You won't want to go back. Now, the first couple times after you do it, you're going to feel something rise up to tell you don't do it. But you just break through that time, and I promise you, you're never going to want to go back. Because there's nothing like freedom. There's nothing like being able to go into the spirit realm and know what God's wanting to do. And today, I know he wants to break this thing once and for all. Because we all knew it was intimidation, probably. But we didn't know that... Because there's a difference in me being intimidated or me having a spirit that wants to intimidate you. There's a lot of us being intimidated, all of us. But when we keep giving in to him, he takes over us. And then he releases intimidation wherever we go. People feel less than, they feel like they're not enough, they can't never do it right, they're not good at, they don't have a good prayer leader, they're in trouble, the cops going to come get them, tagged them to jail because they prayed wrong. That thing releases itself. Why does it do it? Because it don't want you to do more than it. It don't want you to break free. If it wanted you to break free, it will help you sing. If it wanted you to break free, it will help you pray. If it wanted, it don't want you to break free because you might know more than it, and then it's going to feel less than you. So it keeps you pushed down, whether it's a person, boss, husband, wife, you know. It keeps you pushed down. That's why Jesus, they thought they had him. He's like, I give you my life. No man takes my life. I lay it down freely. But they thought they had him. They thought intimidation thinks it has all y'all. But when y'all start breaking out more and more, the only way to defeat him is just go past the line of defense. The only way to defeat him is to do what he's telling you not to do. God, we just see where that thing's gotten so big in people's lives that some people had never sang again. They've never done anything for God again because of other people's disapproving eyes and looks, and just like they did Saul, just them looks about him that we don't want you. We know more. Sunday morning, drug addicts in here, I got the breakthrough. Don't get up here and break through though, because this is my spot. Because I know something. And I got value because I kept everybody else under me and I kept it here. And yeah, Pastor can come through there and bust through because that's her job. But I'm not going to help her. Because really, I got as much as she does and I know as much as she does. And I'm equal with her. If you equal with me, break through. If you equal with me, do something you never done. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Forgive us for not wanting the souls in our life. Forgive us for not wanting someone to come and help the pastor. Forgive us for wanting Samuel to keep doing it. So we can have a position, but we don't got to take the responsibility. We don't have to pray over it. We don't have to press through because she'll do it for us. Samuel will do it. Samuel do it. Because Samuel stayed at the altar while Eli and his sons were getting fat on the portion of the meat. Samuel was ministering to the priest. He was ministering to Eli. And as he ministered to Eli, he grew greater and greater in the things of God. There's a Samuel in the midst. There's a Saul in the midst. There's somebody that's going to come forth and take that place. And they're going to plant. And we're going to see fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just give you praise. Just expose it in our life. Expose that thing. Expose that control. Expose it today. I'm asking that people can see any area in their life that they're intimidated, God. I'm asking for forgiveness to come in us for people using their superiority against us. And saying, if you need me, you know where I'm at. I got so much knowledge. And gaining that for ourselves. Gaining knowledge to make me feel like I'm somebody. When you said that you gave yourself a ransom for all, you were equal with God and you came down on the earth and you became of no reputation. And you gave all that up, God. And you're calling us to give all that up. Forgive us for sitting in places and not taking them and then not wanting a king. Forgive us for wanting to do our own thing but have a title, God. Forgive us, God, for not taking these places. Forgive us, God, and then fighting someone else that wants to take it. Come out of the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, you're not worried about how much I know. Paul said, I don't come to you with enticing words, but I come to you with demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. And we got a church world full of fatness, full of knowledge, full of revelation. But very rarely do you hear them get up and say what that word did in them. Very rarely do you hear where they let it go into their inner man and change them, because we don't want to be changed. We want to be superior. We want to feel like we are something when we should just say that I'm nothing without you, God. I'm nothing without you. That's one way you defeat him, is just agree with him. No, I don't have nothing, but God's rising up in me right now. He wants to dance. Hallelujah. We break the scales off, God. We're not going to give in to that anymore. We're all at a different level. We're at a different level with that. But God, he is requiring something at some time in our life for us to break through. It may just be a testimony. But just know everybody feels that spirit. Some people just go past him anyway. You know, every service, when I used to be overseeing the praise, I would feel, the first time I'd feel to maybe go across the front a little bit. And you might have been wondering what I was doing. I was breaking that wall. Yes. Breaking it out of the church. And then I didn't feel God and all that. After I took off and done it, though, then I could start feeling Him lifting and breaking through. That's what I'm talking about, getting to those levels of where He can come in and He can do something now. It's not just a good word, that He can break it today. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Sister Witt to come and help me pray this morning, if she don't mind, and just break this, help break this thing out of us. We come a long way. I just don't want you bound in any area. I want you to be able to be free. Amen. Want it anymore, God. Some people have a stronger hold, and some of you just need to go past it. Some of you just need to go past it. That line, God, I'm asked to show us that line of defense that stands there. If we don't believe in spirits, then what is that? What is that thing? What is that thing that tries to shut us up? What is that thing that tries to get us to not obey God? What is that thing that tries to get us not to sing? What is that thing that don't want us to preach or prophesy or cast out devils or heal the sick? All of those are good things. So what is that thing that's keeping us from doing it? It's a line of defense. It's the spirit of intimidation. And He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. Yes, He's a liar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We go past Him. He's big because we let Him be big. He's big because we give in to Him. Then He gets big, bigger and bigger, bigger, bigger. Amen. He's only big because I give in to Him and I feed Him and let Him get bigger than me. Let Him feel like He's bigger than God in me. Yes. Yeah.